Hello, everybody. Welcome to Jake's Old and New Movie Review, taking a look at the films of yesterday and today. I am joined by some special people today. A person named Paul, who happens to be my father.
Hello, pudding lovers.
And then the ultimate Mrs. April. How are you today?
I'm good, Jake. How are you?
Pretty good. It's been a good couple days.
I feel like I am the best step monster in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Which ties into what the movie we're talking about today, ironically, which is the new DC movie, Birds of Prey, with Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Her first time playing Harley Quinn since Suicide Squad. So I think people are comparing the two, even though they're quite different. So I will have my guest say their opinion on the movie, then I'll say mine, so I'll go with my dad first.
It was a good movie. That's all I have to say.
That's all?
That's it.
It was good. I liked it. I will say that. It's probably up there with my favorite DC Universe movies. It's up there with, like, Wonder Woman and such.
It was quite compelling. It was like Alfred Hitchcock's Birds. But with more scantily clad women.
Ah, better choreography.
They weren't scantily clad. They were dressed appropriately for their characters. There wasn't a lot of excessive skin showing, I didn't think.
I mean, for an R-rated movie, I didn't think it was that.
I think they could have exploited that more, and they didn't.
You know, I was happy to see that it was an R-rated movie. They incorporate a little bit more language in this.
Yeah, it works better. Suicide Squad was definitely a PG-13-ified. I like that it's kind of more, I mean, I not the term edgy, but it's more like, it doesn't hold back, I guess. And with Harley Quinn, I feel like holding back is not the best thing.
Well, I think with both the Harley Quinn and Joker characters, you can hold back.
Yeah, you kind of have to, yeah. like same with Joker, Joaquin Phoenix, like it had, like being R-rated, like it kind of allows you just more creative freedom. Like it doesn't have to be, but it covers your bases, if that makes sense.
I think movies since Deadpool have learned that.
Yeah, look at like Logan.
Doesn't help anything.
No.
So take the censor off of it, and you can actually explore that character lower.
I agree, 100%.
You have a character like Harley Quinn. She's dumped into a vat of chemicals. She's gonna be more than PG-13.
Well, I mean, what were your guys' thoughts on Suicide Squad?
I actually enjoyed Suicide Squad. I know the two of you did not.
I am not a fan.
But it was entertaining.
Anyone that knows me knows that is not one of my favorite DC movies.
I think they focus too much on Will Smith's character.
Deadshot. That is a fair point. I wish there was more Robbie and stuff. See, I wasn't too familiar with the Suicide Squad and comic book, but I just found the movie not entertaining.
I mean, to turn off the humidifier, it's
it's a bit loud.
We'll see if the dogs bark.
That would be something. But I did not like Suicide Squad. I thought it was just not a fun movie. It just didn't have a good time. But this movie, I definitely did. I thought this movie was great, actually. April, would you agree?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I think they did the girl power thing well.
Yeah, I agree.
Showing that the women were tough and capable. And again, they didn't exploit them.
Yes.
They were not exploited. Any of the characters.
I agree. And it was actually, I can't remember.
They kicked ass because they wanted to kick ass.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, I mean.
And there was no man that came in and saved them.
No, not once. Yeah. In fact, all the men in the movie screw them over because you have Ewan McGregor, the bad guy, and then the guy she lives with, the Chinese restaurant, he sells her out to.
Yeah, even the Asian man, he ends up.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Rosie Perez gets screwed over
by the man. She doesn't get credit for the case.
Always getting screwed over by the man, and not in a good way.
Rosie Perez, make your comeback, you know. Well, this is the first movie I've seen her in a long time. I haven't, because the last thing I saw her in was when she was a co-host on The View. I have not seen her in a movie since maybe.
Jake, are you a big View watcher?
I'm not, but my mother is.
What a good son you are, supporting that.
Yes.
I thought you were more of the talk.
No, that's the lousy knockoff.
Well, I have heard you say you have a thing for Joy Behar.
Oh, I feel like I've like mentioned this as like as a joke, but I used to say like Joy Behar was the most attractive member of The View. But I mean, that's a high, I don't know how high of a standard that is. When you rank The View co-hosts on a 1 out of 10 scale.
I'm fairly sure we're not supposed to be ranking them on their appearance.
That's true.
But yes. On their intelligence and what they offer.
Well, on that end, then Meghan McCain would be bottom.
That's just because you disagree with their politics.
That is true, but she also, this is getting off topic, but she's also not, she's also very not acceptive to the other side. But
as most conservatives can be.
Yes. This is a liberal-leaning podcast. But first of all, I want to talk about how good is Margot Robbie in this movie.
She's excellent.
This movie. I agree. I love Margot Robbie. I've always like even I wasn't a fan of Suicide Squad. She was definitely the best part as Harley Quinn. And I think she's probably one of the best picks you could have of Harley Quinn.
One of the things I love about Margot Robbie is her physicality.
Yeah,
she's great at
look at Itanya.
Not just the fight scenes, but just her general. It's almost like you could see her being a little inspired by Charlie Chaplin or Buster Keaton. She's got that ability to move her body around.
Yeah.
And make it a part of the character.
I agree.
I think it's amazing to watch her.
And it's like even Itanya, she like does all her own skating. She does. I think the only thing she didn't do was the one thing, like the big one where you spin, like very few skaters can do it. Like the.
Like a triple axel.
Yeah, the one Tonya Harding actually was
and
able
she's
to
very
do.
Good in that movie.
Yeah,
she definitely has.
She lost the Oscar to Frances McDormand for 3 Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Well, that movie was good.
I did like that movie too. That movie was very anti-karma, but I liked it.
Well, I feel like she presents rhythm. Like she has a rhythm about her when she's doing the fight scene that's not like so mechanical.
Well, it feels like they're actually fighting. Like
yeah.
It's not like rehearsed. Like
yeah, but what there's style to her fighting. It's not like this.
Well, because Harley Quinn is fearless because she's running off of insanity vibe for sure. But yeah, I think that's it. She's just there's no fear in her at all.
But it's also a carnival feel to her fighting.
I understand.
Both Harley Quinn and the Joker both, and even the setting of it has a very clown-like. For both characters,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
That's what I liked about this film. They really showed that clown character that Harley
Even
Quinn
in
is.
In the final scenes, it's very set in an abandoned amusement
park.
Yeah,
I thought that was very clever, actually. I liked that location that was like where the climax of the movie was.
I thought the tongues were interesting. Did you notice the tongues?
I noticed. What tongue?
When they're fighting and all the tongues, the heads, and
yes.
They each had a tongue. I just thought it was interesting. I would have never thought of that in amusement.
Oh.
Setting.
Oh.
Did you miss the tongues?
I think I did. I noticed the hands, like the large statue.
Yeah,
of the
right
hands.
Before the hands.
Oh, maybe that's why.
The huntress, she jumps on top of the tongues.
Oh, okay. I think it's kind of ringing a bell now, because I remember that. I'm trying to, like, remember, because I remember when she jumps and, like, she does the attack. But I just can't
you
place
had to
the
pay attention more than Margot Robbie in the movie.
I did. I paid attention to all of the Fox 5.
What was interesting about this movie, though, that you talked about on Itanya, that she ice skated in that, but she roller skates in this
She does roller skate in this movie.
She's a skating fiend.
I did forget that she did roller skate in this movie.
Well, they showed that at the beginning with her roller derby.
Yeah, I remember.
So they has to come back full circle.
I mean, did you like the idea that her and the Joker broke up? Like, this iconic comic book couple is, like, they're broken up and now she kind of has to figure out...
Well, not to give anything away to anybody's...
This is a spoiler review, by the way.
Oh, spoiler. Oh, we're just getting...
Yeah, that's why I posted it on Monday after the weekend.
Oh, so if you didn't have a chance to see it by the weekend...
But I was posting the description... I always posted... Well, just listen to it at a later date, but I was putting the description spoiler alert, because...
Okay. Well, the blowing up of the Chemical Lab...
Yeah.
I think it was a great, you know, we're done, and let all of Gotham know.
Yeah, and it's crazy, the Joker's not in the movie. Like, he's in it and animated, but he's not actually physically in the movie.
And I think they only show a brief clip to the side of him.
Yeah, I wonder if that was actually Jared Leto.
I think it was taken from Suicide Squad.
Probably,
the
yeah.
The scene of her falling.
Yeah, because I don't think he's the Joker anymore. They don't want him as the Joker anymore. I heard. And in fact, Jared Leto was mad over the reception to Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. How positive it was and how it was mixed to him.
Jared Leto can keep himself comfortable with the fact that he looks amazing for 49 years old.
He is 49 years old. I mean,
looks amazing. Well,
he's doing the new movie Morbius, and he has like the long black hair and
just
such.
Just a different style of Joker. I mean,
well, now we've seen several different versions of that character.
Yes. Everyone's not going to be a home run.
I agree. And when you have a great actor like Jared Leto, it can be difficult. Even though Jared Leto kind of rubs me the wrong way sometimes with how a lot of his roles, he likes to just pick, like, be weird people for the sake of being weird people.
Maybe he's weird.
I feel Johnny Depp does the same
thing. I agree. Actually, that's a very good comparison. Johnny Depp always...
You have to give Jared Leto some credit. He was the first person to play the Joker after Heath Ledger.
That is true. Oh, he was the first.
Shoes to
that is first
fill,
person. So. And it is, like, kind of a bummer because he's sandwiched in between Heath Ledger and Joaquin Phoenix. So he kind of sticks out as this...
Well, and he's
the weird slice of cheese.
Exactly.
And Joaquin Phoenix was able to see Jared Leto and say, okay, maybe I don't do it that way.
Yeah.
Maybe I do it different. So...
And Joaquin Phoenix took a different approach.
Joaquin Phoenix had the advantage of seeing another person play and go in a different direction himself.
Yeah. I agree.
Where both Heath Ledger and Jared Leto are coming from an insane point of view, where the Joker for Joaquin Phoenix is more depressed.
Yeah, definitely.
Which leads to, ultimately, his being insane. But
Yeah.
But to begin with, he's just depressed. He's severely depressed.
Yeah, I definitely see that point of it. And in Joker, it's definitely a different side of it. It's a different take on the Joker. It's not really based on a particular storyline. Well, this movie, Birds of Prey, there is actually a Birds of Prey comic book series
with Harley Quinn.
Yeah, she's like leader of the squad, and it's weird. I've heard some people say they were surprised that even though it was like built as a Birds of Prey movie, the formation of the Birds of Prey doesn't really occur till around the end. But you kind of have the setup of the characters beforehand. And I don't want to say it was a flaw of the movie. It was more like I wanted more of those characters. Like, I don't think it's a problem with the movie. It's more like I thought those characters were so entertaining.
So
I wish they were in it more.
Is this going to be the origin story of Birds of Prey? Is there more movies to follow?
I'm hoping. I'd love to see another sequel. It just depends if this movie does well, which I hope it does. Go see it at the box office.
Yeah, it's really good. It was an enjoyable 2 hours, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It didn't feel like 2 hours either. It had a good pace to it.
And Ewan McGregor was great as the villain.
Oh, he was fantastic. Ewan McGregor is always great in every role he's in. It's crazy how, like, he's able to, like, even though it is Ewan McGregor, he's, like, one of those actors he can kind of, he's always able to become the character he's playing.
He morphs very well
into
whoever he's playing.
He's not, like, an actor. Like, you know how there's some actors, they play someone in a movie, but you still see the actor just because maybe, like, they're iconic or something.
Well, the funny thing is, I just saw Dr. Sleep not too long ago, and I totally forgot that he had been in Dr. Sleep while I was watching this movie.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it was...
He didn't come to mind. Like, I just saw him in Dr. Sleep. I didn't know.
Yeah, like, I didn't even, I actually didn't, but, I mean, I knew he was in Dr. Sleep, so I thought of it, but when I saw Dr. Sleep, you don't see Ewan McGregor, it's like...
Right.
Well, it's the same thing, he was in the television show Fargo as well.
Oh, he was excellent in that.
And his co-star, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who's in
She's
Birds
in this
of
too, and she's another actress I have always liked. I remember, she first started in, she's actually in the Tarantino movie Death Proof. That was like one of her first roles, and then she did movies like Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and then I like that she's getting more work because she's a really good actress.
Yeah, she was really good as the host.
I think they're actually dating, Ewan McGregor and Mary Elizabeth instead.
What?
I heard they were dating.
I quickly looked on IMDb and it said she was married to somebody else. I don't know if that's not
updated
information.
Oh, I may have just seen a tabloid, so. But he was excellent in the movie. Really good villain, I thought, for a comic book movie. He's very well characterized, and he was very...
Is that a character from the comic books?
I think so. Black Mask is, I'm pretty sure, a pretty popular comic character from that comic. And then I also think... what was it? I can't think of the term. I think the girl's from the comic book, too. Not like any... The little girl who swallowed the diamond... I forgot her name was.
Her last name is Kane in it.
Yeah, but I think she's from the comic books too. I mean, and also the movie brought up something I never thought.
She's a good character.
She was a good character.
The pickpocket.
Yeah. Well, I was confused why she swallowed the diamond at first.
Cassandra Kane.
Like, so no one could get it.
Because she, yeah. Well, nobody was going to be able to get their hands on it for a while.
Well, yeah, but...
It was safekeeping.
But, I mean, but, like, if I was in that position, I'd be like... I'd have a feeling these guys wouldn't care about slicing my stomach open to get it. So I don't think it would really be that effective.
I'm fairly sure. How old is she in the movie, do we think? 12?
12 or 13.
Yeah, 12 or 13.
She's probably not thinking that anybody is going to gut her.
Oh, true. But then that is where it went.
Right.
Because, does she know how valuable the diamond is? Or does she just assume it's another diamond when she gets it?
Well, she bites it to see if it's a real diamond. Remember, she bites it?
Okay.
And so she realizes it's valuable.
Oh, okay. But
I don't think she realizes
the bank codes. The bank codes aren't. Yeah, yeah. And, well, and then you find out that Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character turned out to be involved in that diamond somehow. And that, like, was kind of her backstory.
Right.
Like,
she belonged to her family.
Yeah, and then her family got killed, and then she got revenge and tried to get that diamond back. I just liked the progression of it. Like, even though it was non-linear at times, like, it still worked. Like, you were never confused where it was. You were kind of aware of what was happening. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's very good. Even though it goes back and forth, it doesn't make you confused.
It's not confused.
Yeah.
I did really like the scene where Harley Quinn walks into the police station and she doesn't use bullets.
Oh, she uses
the little bean bags.
That was smart. I didn't expect
glitter bombs, and the smoke is all the blue and red from her colors.
Yeah, I actually didn't expect that. Like, I thought she was just gonna kill them because, I mean, being R-rated, she could. But like,
she rarely uses guns in the entire movie. She shoots one person, and towards the end, but
she uses like
the most part, she uses a bat or her
other methods. Like,
what is the other one that she uses? The big, huge mallet-looking thing. Is it a mallet?
Yeah, it's a huge mallet.
Oh, it is a huge mallet.
Yes.
Oh, it's a mallet.
But that's like one of her signature.
It's like the strongman mallet.
Well, and it...
Right, like you're at a carnival.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what?
Oh, again, the clown thing.
I mean, are you afraid of clowns?
No, I don't have a clown phobia.
I don't either. I just don't
do
like...
Do you have a clown phobia?
No.
I just am not a fan. Like, I just don't understand the appeal of clowns. Like, nowadays, they're kind of an outdated concept, I feel.
But there are people who have legit fear. Over clowns, like it doesn't. I don't think it's scary at all.
No, granted, the new It movies made it scarier, but I still don't find it scary. I mean, I know people with it. I know a person with a clown phobia. So,
do you?
I do. I actually do. Good friend.
I've had a couple of friends who had clown phobias.
I think with this movie, I think by the title, most people need to focus on the subtitle of the movie, and that's the Fantabulous Emancipation of the One Harley Quinn, because that's what really the movie is about.
Yeah,
you're being set free from the Joker.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy because you kind of think like the Joker and Harley Quinn were always a package deal, and now she's kind of just.
And by the end of the movie, she is completely free.
And I love that. And it brought up something I never thought about that, like, I didn't think about this till I watched the movie, that like she was protected by the Joker the whole time, and now that she's not with him.
Right, she could do whatever she wanted.
Yeah, because if someone messed with her, the Joker would just, like...
And nobody wanted that.
Yeah, and now...
She knew that was coming because it was true emancipation. She knew when she was blowing up the chemical plant that all hell was going to break loose.
Yeah, right. Well, she didn't think about it at the time because she was so drunk when she did it, and then it came to her probably the next morning when she wanted that delicious breakfast sandwich.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean... That sandwich, though, when that sandwich fell, that was a travesty.
She got it back at the end.
That was so nice that she was able to eat it.
I died a little inside. Sal makes the best sandwich.
With his Armenian arm hair.
What did he say? Like the 6 month expired American cheese or.
And the Armenian arm hair. Those are the two factors that made it a great sandwich.
That is so
funny. And it was a reasonable sandwich because she only put $1 on the counter and said, can you spot me for
I thought it was like $2.
Well, even so, $2, and can you spot me for 75 cents? That's...
Well, I mean...
Anywhere else, that was a bargain. $7 somewhere.
Well, it depends, I guess, where you go. If it's, like, a breakfast place that... Not, like there's a couple places in Cape where, like, it's, like, $2 you get. It's, like, made out of an outlet. It's, like, one shop with a table. It's not like an actual restaurant or anything like that. But I don't know.
Jacob...
Jake's like
having the macaroni sweats.
No, I mean I ate a big meal before the fucking.
He enjoyed some homemade mac and cheese.
It was delish. Absolutely delish. But have you ever had that?
Jake loves mac and cheese like Harley Quinn loves breakfast sandwiches.
I like mac and cheese. I love April's mac and cheese most of all. Well,
I made it for you, dear.
Thank you. And, have you ever had that? Well, after...
With the Arminian...
That was quite the procurement on my part. Arminian Armair.
Where did you find that?
I mean... How did you find it?
I am nukes.
I'm not giving away my secrets.
Though, so, I mean, have you ever had like a breakfast sandwich after a night of hijinks? It is quite delicious.
When I was in my 20s, the cure to all nights out was a McMuffin.
Ooh.
An egg McMuffin. You know, you could get home at 4 in the morning, sleep for a couple of hours, grab the egg McMuffin, and your day was set for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Well, that's why so many people like to go to breakfast places after. Yeah. Or, like, that's why Waffle House is open 24-hour, probably, just for that reason.
That's the only reason, because that's the only time anybody thinks the Waffle House is
good. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, like, in Cape, there's a Waffle House by this dive bar called The Deck, and it's literally the only reason people go to the Waffle House is because it's one of the few things open. Same with Steak Shake.
And that's the busiest time of the day for the Waffle House?
I wouldn't doubt it.
I'm always shocked when I drive by a Waffle House during the day and there are patrons.
That is weird. Like, okay, there's two purposes for Waffle House. The reason we talked about, and for truckers who are hauling cargo and they need a quick bite to eat on the way back.
Quick and cheap.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, like, they make sense at truck stops, but, like, normal suburban places, I'm like, well, that's a lot of place. Because it looks like a truck stop restaurant. Like, you just go sit at the counter, eat, and then go back to your way.
Here's another piece of trivia. What's the only other food you see her eat in the movie?
What was the only food? Oh, wasn't it the Cheese Whiz at the beginning?
She does put
cheese whiz, but she actually eats something else in the movie.
Was it the cereal?
Yes. Yeah, she and the kid.
Oh, yeah.
She enjoys the cereal.
That was nice.
She likes breakfast foods.
Well, who doesn't love breakfast foods?
And cartoons.
They were all like Looney Tunes, and I loved it. It was like Tweety Bird and, I think all the cartoons she was watching were Tweety Bird and Sylvester.
The beautiful thing about Harley Quinn's character is that as nutty as the girl is, she also every now and then comes across and you see the psychiatrist in her. Tells people exactly who they are, what they're about.
The
intelligence of her.
That's actually a great point I thought of too. The fact that, unlike a lot of reincarnations, the movie actually addresses that Harley Quinn's a doctor. She's a psychiatrist. She has a PhD. Very few interpretations.
As playful and childlike as she can be. She's still a PhD.
Yeah, she's still smart. She's super smart. Yeah.
I think she even makes the comment when somebody refers to her as being dumb or something. She's like, I have a PhD.
I mean, she's highly intelligent. Though it was weird. Like, I don't think she mentioned the events of Suicide Squad once. Like, the main plot. Like, them having to save the...
She mentions that she was caught by the Batman. She does say that she was caught by the Batman. And... because she named the dog the hyena after him,
Bruce. Well, she didn't know. Did she?
She didn't know the Batman is Bruce, but she mentioned him. But she relates it somehow that she was busted by the Batman and named the dog after that high Bruce Wayne.
But my favorite animal in the movie named Bruce.
After Bruce the shark from Jaws,
or Bruce from Finding Nemo.
Well, he's a good
too.
Which is.
A reference to that, yeah.
Jaws.
Yeah, it's very
Steven
good.
Steven Spielberg's attorney, Bruce.
Well, like, I was thinking, like, because the main thing I thought about, like, they didn't mention main points because it was, like, she had to go against, like, this crazy, like, temptress chick and, like, have to fight, like, it was at, the world was at the brink of destruction and she had to save it and she doesn't really mention it. Because I remember, like, in Avengers... all that stuff happened. And then in Iron Man 3, like, the first thing they address is Tony Stark has really bad PTSD from it all. And I was like, huh. Like, I never even thought... I mean...
She does mention that that her apartment was better than jail.
Yes.
She does mention that as well.
I do remember... I think she mentioned the Joker being breaking her out. Because that happens at the end of the movie. And I did like the little, like, cartoon at the beginning to kind of...
The whole backstory.
Yeah, like, to like bring it up with too much exposition. Like, you don't want to be drugged in backstory. You kind of just want to be caught to the point, but in an entertaining way.
Right, bring her story to the forefront.
Yeah.
Pull it away from Suicide Squad and then start anew.
Well, and I do like the whole plot, how it kind of connects all these characters together. It's like a Guy Ritchie movie or something. Yeah, like,
there was only one real nod to Suicide Squad, and that was the picture of Boomerang.
I do remember that. That was probably the biggest thing I figured. She's like, I know that guy. It was Boomerang, played by Jack Courtney from Suicide Squad.
Oh, I miss that. I remember her saying that, but I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, it was Boomerang, the Australian guy.
So I have Googled a few things. Ewan McGregor and Mary Elizabeth Winstead are still a couple.
Oh, okay.
So there you go for all those following along. For
the tabloids. We have tabloid listeners to Jake's old and new movie review.
And the girl, Ella J. Basco, plays Cassandra Cain. She's the kid in the movie.
Oh. What is their couple name?
What?
Mary and Ewan?
Yeah.
I don't know. What is it?
I don't know. Is it Mick?
Do they have a couple name?
McLovin?
Oh.
Because of the Scotch?
No,
thing?
I don't know.
What I don't it? Know why. I don't think they've been given a couple name.
I thought you were.
They're giving, not Bennifer.
I thought you were giving Bennifer. TMZ news.
Who's Bennifer, Jake?
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, I assume.
Oh, very nice.
And then Brad Pitt and Angelina. Though I feel like celebrities don't like it when they get nicknames like that. Like Scarlett Johansson she hates that nickname, actually.
Yeah.
But we can't do anything about it now. It's too iconic.
Yeah. She'll have to get over
it. Well, actually, I have not heard someone call her that in many years, though. So.
But yet, I think J-Lo loves hers.
Oh, I'm sure. Some people, just different strokes for different folks, you know? I mean, like, she wanted that. And look at J-Lo now. More popular than ever at 50.
She's had
one of the best careers of all time. She's had a career for over 30 years, and she just did a Super Bowl halftime show.
And she was fearless.
And she got she got snubbed for the Oscars too for Hustlers. I felt.
And did you like Hustlers?
I did like Hustlers. I actually loved Hustlers.
Did you like it for the plot or just?
No, it was actually a very good movie.
I thought it was really good.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was very smart, very well written. That was probably the biggest thing I came up. The characters were very fleshed out too. And speaking of characters, did you have any like favorite characters besides Harley Quinn, like the supporting cast?
I really liked the kid, Cassandra Cain.
I liked her too. She wasn't a typical kid like sidekick, if that makes sense.
No, I think she held her own for sure.
Oh yeah, and she was street smart for sure. She just being her age,
she didn't get overpowered by Margot Robbie at all.
No, not at all.
I think she held her own with her.
No, I like Black Canary.
Oh, Black Canary was really good too.
Oh, she was excellent. I liked her. I actually thought all.
I'm assuming that was really her singing too.
Oh, not the part at the end where she does the Sonic.
Well, yeah.
That was added in post.
Yeah, that was definitely added in post.
But she did a good job singing. I mean, she.
And she's singing a Man's World.
Man's World.
Yeah.
James Brown cover.
Great.
She did a beautiful job.
What's the name of the actress that played Black Canary? You looked it up earlier.
Jeremy Smollett Bell?
Yes.
Has she done anything of note before this movie?
Yes, she's got a lot of acting credits.
I never seen her in anything else.
She was
in
Full House back in the day.
I remember her from I don't. True Blood. She was on True Blood.
Oh, I didn't watch that show.
And also the sister of Jesse Smollett.
Jesse Smollett.
Oh.
From, you know, famed Chicago. Pretend.
Shenanigans.
Thank you.
How old is she? How old is she then?
Well, IMDb says that she is going to be 34 October 1st.
Oh wow!
So she is currently 33.
I did not know that.
But she has. Let's see. I'm sorry, I was giving her way more acting credits. 37.
She still did a decent amount.
Yeah.
So one thing that got me in the film that I couldn't really wrap my head around that I didn't understand is when Harley Quinn was in between the standoff of the police and the Black Mask henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up with the henchmen being taken by them.
I think they were. I don't think any of them were police. I think they were all henchmen.
All henchmen?
Yeah. Well, that's why she waved the white flag. Like, I surrender.
Right. I think they were all henchmen because she ends up back there. I don't.
And that's when they give her the deal. Like, you have to, like, we'll keep you alive if you get the girl.
And don't they make a comment about Ewan McGregor's character being, like, he's got it, you know, he can pay off anybody, take care of anything.
Yeah.
He's got people in his pocket.
Yeah. I mean, they say in the movie he's like a Joker-like character, like, in terms of power.
But the money of like Bruce Wayne.
Yes, yes.
What happened to him ultimately in the end?
Ooh, Black Mask?
Yeah.
He got killed, remember? What was the grenade?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. Were you not paying attention?
I remember.
No, body parts she pulled the ring and was like, I forgot your ring. And then
I thought he was able to get in the water in time.
No, there were the leg went one way and the arm went another.
Yeah, they didn't even care. Like, they were like, we're just like, no chance of him coming back, just like blow to bits.
Although you say that, and there's always a way they figure out he comes back and he's got prosthetics, arms.
Oh my
legs,
goodness, that'd be ridiculous. It's kind of...
His torso was left intact.
That's crazy when they do that. When they kill a character off and then they bring them back in, like, the laziest way possible. It's just for a cash grab. Like in Kingsman.
Who in Kingsman?
Colin Firth.
Oh,
he
yeah.
gets killed in the first one. And then second one, it's like, oh! And then same with Men in Black. They deneuralize Tommy Lee Jones in the first one. And then at the second one, they just, hey, you're back. You're back to the Men in Black.
It's hard not having Men in Black without Tommy Lee Jones.
You know, they did it at work in a Men in Black International.
Did you see
it? I did. I actually didn't. I didn't hate it, but it's not as good as the other Men in Black movies. But I like Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson, so.
I just like Chris Hemsworth. He could read the phone book.
Well, everyone loves Chris Hemsworth. No.
Including you?
I mean, I'm a fan. I don't love him in that sense, but I love him. For him,
I'm a Luke Hemsworth guy.
You sound like friend Siri right now. You sound like a 22-year-old female English teacher.
Well, that's good company to keep.
Perks of being a wallflower.
Hi Siri.
She'll probably hear this episode. And what do you have to say to Siri?
Hi, Siri. Siri, tell me a joke.
Oh, she gets so annoyed.
Oh, I'm
it.
Sure she does.
I mean, she's a teacher. Or if she go to a restaurant and...
Is it spelled the same way?
Mm-hmm. S-I-R-I. Mm-hmm. But she jokes if she was named something else, that's what Apple chose as the name. Like, no matter what her name is, it was meant to be what Apple chose.
So would you say it was fate?
That was her theory, not mine.
Right. I mean, it could be worse. It could be Alexa.
I don't know if it would be worse. I think, well, Siri's more distinct, but if Siri's listening, sorry, but your name gets referenced a lot because it's in connection to the iPhone.
That it is.
What other takes did you take away from?
It was just, I think, like, the biggest one is, it was just a really fun movie. Like, it didn't try to be overly serious or, like, overly pressing. Like, it just was, like, a good time. Like, and I think that's the best thing it could have been. It was just really entertaining. Like,
it was entertaining, but it was, you know, the fight scenes were realistic. They weren't over the top.
And they didn't last forever.
No.
That is true. Well like, it was like actual combat. Like, you have this number of guys, you gotta fight them.
Right.
It's like, if you like look at something like The Matrix, where you just have countless people.
I did enjoy when the piles of cocaine were shot at, and she took the big inhale.
Oh yeah, and then it played Black Betty.
Gave her a little boost of energy.
Oh.
She was like, I don't like cocaine. I just like the way it smells. Mm-hmm. And then, like...
She said that?
No.
Oh. I was like, I don't remember that one. Well, the overall soundtrack was actually very good.
It was great. The last couple songs that they played towards the end were the best.
Well, I thought the songs they played at the end were, like, the actual score, because I didn't recognize them as actual songs. I thought there was...
I don't know what the last song was.
They sounded like they were good, but they sounded like it was actual music made for the movie.
There was one that I really liked in my... couldn't tell you what...
Barracuda was
Barracuda
at the
was
end.
In it, but that was in the middle.
Boss Bitch was a great song.
That was in it, too.
But I like her nod to kind of... Jules from Pulp Fiction, her calling card, her business card. At
that
the
was
end.
Good. Oh, that was a good... that was
Harley awesome. Quinn, bad the fucker.
That was awesome. Oh, I liked her card beforehand, the handwritten, scribbled one. You know, and another thing I liked is...
I like the fact that she has a PhD, she can't spell words. All her words, psychiatrist,
right,
was misspelled, mercenary, must be jumping into a vat of chemicals.
Well, and the Joker, the Joker did was electric shock therapy her head.
So things are a little jarred. In the
yeah, like, but she's still, I still think she's really smart regardless.
Well,
she was really smart, and one of your favorite scenes was with the hair tie.
Oh, yes, so for all of you who haven't seen it yet, the girls are all battling, and what is their Black Canary? Black Canary's hair is all over the place, it's hanging down, and I thought to myself, boy, that hair would really be in your way if you were fighting. You would need a hair tie. About that time, Harley Quinn says to her, do you need a hair tie?
Well, I like that moment. It's like, it's just never something you think about in a movie. But
Riven,
the fact that
as a girl, it is what I thought of was, man, I'd want a hair tie in that moment.
Like, they took the time to acknowledge, hey, I need a hair tie. I thought it was really cool. Well,
which, again, I think is coming from, it's a female director of this
mm-hmm.
movie.
Yes, it is.
And
I wish I knew the name, but I do not.
But I think those things are really smart. It's the same thing I said about the wardrobe. That even though there's a slight sexiness to it, and it's all very feminine, it isn't just all tits and ass.
It's classy sexiness.
Sorry, it's not all tits and ass for the male viewers.
Yeah, I'm
it's
glad.
It's all practical wear.
Right.
Even at the end when Harley changes into those pants.
Yeah.
Makes it easier for the next scenes that you're going to see her in, because otherwise her legs would have been ripped to shreds in her normal shorts that she wears.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was smart. Smart costuming, good decisions that
way. Yeah, I it felt like, you know, it felt like girl power without being like preachy, I guess is the term. Like, it felt genuine. Like, they didn't like have to, like, they're not like badass because they're females, they're badass because they're badass.
Right.
That type of thing.
Exactly.
Well, and that's how I felt about the movie. They were just badasses. No matter what sex they were, they were
right.
Badasses.
And same with, and no matter what age they were either, because Rosie Perez is obviously... Well,
yeah,
older,
like 50s. In the 50s, yeah. And I actually didn't know she was in the movie until I watched it. Did you?
I did not know she was.
Like, she totally survived. I didn't even see her in the trailer. And I've seen the trailer a couple times.
And Kathy Yan directed the film.
Oh, and what else has she directed? Is this her first movie?
She's directed a lot of shorts. This is a
Google
first.
It, Paul. Tell us what else she directed.
This is her major.
My
directed.
Phone is being used as the recording device, so I'm...
So you can Google.
Yes. Well,
but this is her first major motion picture?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So she's only done shorts before. Really good debut. For a feature, it's a really good debut
yeah,
film.
That's great.
And probably the biggest, one of the bigger things that also... The movie's actually like really, really funny.
It is funny.
Like, I think it's probably the funniest DC movie. I'd say even more funnier than Shazam, honestly. Like, the humor is very good in it, I felt.
The movie is a feel-good movie. I mean, the action is fun. It's just a fun movie.
Yeah, it's entertaining. The way a movie should be.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know. I mean,
I don't think if you're coming away from a comic book movie or an action movie and, you know, it's a deep, soul-searching movie, they're never that way. They're supposed to be entertaining.
Well, but I think they can also kind of... They can go into deeper... Like, I think Avengers, Infinity War, and Endgame kind of go deeper. I mean, they deal with half of the universe disintegrating. And I feel like you can, like... You're obviously not going to be, like, an art house film, but you can have that death while also be entertaining. I think this movie did a good job of that, too.
Yeah, I don't think they went super deep, though. I think they stayed in wanting to entertain you.
Yeah.
And like you said, they weren't trying to beat you over the head with girl power.
No.
They were just badass.
They were more focused on just having good characters and fleshed out characters. And I think the movie did a great job. I mean, even the villain, it's not... I thought Ewan McGregor, he's not just this one-dimensional villain. I feel like he actually has depth. He actually has characteristics.
Did you notice that one of the last shirts he wears has his face all over?
Yeah, his pajamas, right?
He's very narcissistic.
Yeah.
In
oh,
pajamas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and there were a couple moments, like when he's like, he's doing the skinning, I guess I'll just say. That was a little hard to watch.
That was hard to watch. And how, when he got the girl up on the table.
That was hard to watch, too.
That was hard to watch. That was very misogynistic. That was not a good scene.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that was the point. It was supposed to be uncomfortable.
That's absolutely the point.
Yeah. And I think, like, that. Well, and that's why I think he does such a good job. He's, like, he's supposed to be, like, despicable, and he pulls it off.
I think it's showing his true self there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I definitely. I could definitely tell he had a misogynistic side to him.
But he also makes the guy cut off the dress, and he doesn't like to do the dirty work.
So, I have a question. Did you pick up on this? His henchman, his right hand man, who is from what was Mindy Kaling's show? Mindy.
The Mindy Project.
Yes, the Mindy Project.
The Mindy Project.
Oh, he was in that.
Yeah, he was one of the doctors.
Yeah, one of the doctors.
And her
yes.
primary love interest, but. Did you get that feeling that he was in love with Ewan McGregor? Because he was very, very... Like, he seemed almost jealous of the Harley Quinn thing, jealous of other people helping out. Even Black Canary.
Yes.
He seemed jealous of her.
Yeah, he wanted to be the number one.
Right. There seemed to be some sort of love, attachment, whether that was...
Kind of an Igor...
Igor, yeah. Dr. Frankenstein
yeah.
thing.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't notice it at the time, but a little bit. Because even at the end when he notices the text she gets on the phone, he's like, pull over. He's like, you're going to betray him and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it was more like just whenever he was talking to, whether it was Harley or to Black Canary, he almost seemed jealous.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's just something I picked up on.
A little bit, now that I think about it. I didn't notice it at the time, but I think in hindsight it is a little like that.
Yeah, he was a creepy character, though.
No,
the scars on his body.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what he said, every scar on his body is for every, like, person he's killed or something like that. Like, so he hurts himself every time he kills somebody? I mean, he's obviously twisted, and he got killed, so.
He's the ultimate being a cutter.
What's that term mean?
Well, because you people who are cutters who make the intentional scars on themselves is to release emotional.
Oh, I've never understood the appeal of that, but I guess I'm.
Well, me either, but I know that that's what cutters do. It's to.
No offense to
any. It's to release the physical pain. To release your emotional pain through physical pain.
It's like what Eminem said. It's like what Eminem said in the song Stand. He's like, I cut myself to see how much it bleeds. It's like adrenaline. The pain is such a sudden rush for me.
Right.
So, that lyric. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a creepy character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ewan McGregor is too. But
oh, for
but,
sure.
I mean, and he definitely has. And I think that was kind of the rule. They wanted to have a villain that was like. Had a misogynistic.
I don't know if there's things that have a sequel to Birds of Prey, and I guess it's probably based on box office or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought Ali Wong's part was very small.
That was so weird.
And then I thought, well, is it to set her up for another movie?
It's weird. Yeah, because why would they... Because it felt like... It did feel like...
There it happened. The
dog. There's a dog. It's okay. Dogs are... This is a dog-friendly podcast, so we don't mind. So, the dog's just barking away, so... But that was very...
Yeah. And Ali
that's
Wong,
so strange. Like,
Ali Wong is supposed to be Rosie Perez's love interest in the movie.
Well, no, they said they were exes.
Right.
So,
oh, yeah. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, ex-lover in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's some scorn there, and I think that's why she turns Rosie in the beginning.
Oh, and she says, I can't believe you turned me in.
Right.
But still, it was a very small part.
Yeah.
For, like, a pretty well-known actress. Like,
right.
She did Crazy Rich Asians and Hustlers, like, back-to-back. And I don't know if she's in anything. Is she on Fresh...
Ali Wong is not in Hustlers.
She's not?
No. Are you just thinking all Asian actresses look alike?
No, I could have sworn she was in Hustlers. She's, like, the star.
No.
Am I thinking of something different?
You are.
It was nice to see her in something where she wasn't pregnant, like, all her
Okay. Oh, yeah, I am thinking of something different. That was just me mistaking actresses. Not because they're Asian. It's because they actually look like... I know who Ali Wong is. I saw the movie she did with Rape...
Constance Wu is in Hustlers
Constance
and
Wu.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, yeah. But Ali Wong, it was Ray Park. Who's the guy? Ray Park or something? Guy in the movie she did this year, Ali Wong.
Oh, the Netflix movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. I saw most of that.
That was actually like
that was a great
movie.
That was a good movie. Did not make my top 10 of the year, but
no.
How do you feel this? Do you think this movie's gonna do well at the box office?
Definitely.
I hope so.
Always Be My Maybe. That's the name of that movie.
Always Be My Maybe. Yeah. Oh, that's actually a great title.
I think it'll do good at the box office. Most of those movies do well.
I mean, the only exception I could think of is Justice League didn't do well at the box office.
Oh, it didn't?
Yeah, that's the only one that lost money. Other than that, they do pretty well. I'm hoping.
I was excited to see the Wonder Woman preview.
That preview looked great.
1984.
I'm so excited for that. I love that they used Blue Monday, but they used like an orchestrated version of it. Mm-hmm. Because Blue Monday is like one of my top 10 songs of all time, so.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's no. I love Blue Monday. You know Blue Monday, right? The New Order song?
I want to say I do, but I feel like I'm an old person right this second going, Blue Monday?
Well, no, it came out in 83. The song came out in 83.
I know, but I wasn't born yet, so I don't know.
you would definitely recognize it if you heard it.
I was 12 in 1983, listeners, so I don't think I was a New Order fan quite at 12 years old.
But that was still a big song. That was a big pop.
I'd have to hear it again. I'm sure I've heard it.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay. It's not Every Breath You Take, but... Which is the big song of
83. Oh. That I remember. One I remember.
Well, it's funny. I mean, when Sting says how he wrote that song, it's because he cheated on his wife with his current wife, and he wrote a song about it. That's actually the story of how he wrote Every Breath You Take. And then...
Is Kurt, have they been married a long time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's funny, when they interviewed him on Behind the Music, he's like, I'll never tell. Wink, wink. Like, I'm like, why are you being like this with your most famous song? Well, anyway. That
sidetrack.
Final thoughts on the movie, everybody?
I think it's great. April. I think it's entertaining. I think for all the ladies out there, you're going to enjoy it. The guys will enjoy it because it's just a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Full of action.
I don't think it's a movie catered to females exclusively at all.
Absolutely not. But I think the women will go in and feel like they're...
They'll enjoy it for sure.
Yeah. And you're right. It's not just playing to the whole girl power thing. They're just badasses because they're badasses.
And it works great. It's so entertaining. It works great as a movie on all fronts,
I feel. It had a good carnival feel to the movie. I mean, it fit the character very well.
Mm-hmm.
The whole theme, the fight scenes were fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
I agree. I would definitely recommend it. Go see it. Very good movie. And that's Birds of Prey. Highly recommended DC movie. DC actually has had a pretty good track record recently compared to their previous track record a couple years ago. I want to thank my guests. If you'd like to, this is the spot of the show. I enable people to plug in anything they want people to watch. Basically self-promotion if you'd like to.
I just want to say you're my favorite Mr. J.
Thank you. Thank you, Dad, my father. I'm glad he was on the show. And April, do you want to shout out to anyone or plug in anything? Or?
No, I just appreciate you inviting me to the podcast.
No problem.
I'm happy you enjoyed the mac and cheese I made you.
It was very delicious. It was a good day. It was a good movie and a good mac and cheese dinner with some very good pork as well.
And
not kosher.
And it is my pleasure to be your step monster.
Thank you. Thank you. The ultimate step monster.
The ultimate step monster.
Well, that's the episode. Thank you very much.